Well, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers, and it is so good to be with you. And I am a joyful father of five children, and my kids are wow. And I just sometimes in the video announcements they say things that make me a little bit uncomfortable. So a few weeks ago, Rose said that I'm the senior pastor. I joke about that, and I say, when I get the IHOP discount for pancakes, then you can call me senior pastor. I am, and then this week it was a father and man of God. I'm like, okay, I come before you humbly as a servant of the Most High, to simply be a conduit. A conduit that God speaks to and hopefully speaks through. If he speaks through me, then I've done my job. If I disappear, then God is glorified. Amen. So, well, come on, don't amen that much. I mean, I'm still here. Like, I'm just kidding. You know, this week I had a wonderful pleasure of taking my two boys away on a fishing trip, and it was so much fun. We pulled in, we were fishing within 15 minutes of pulling into the cabin, and we're in the boat, and within 5 minutes of being in the boat, my son Caleb, caught a fish. Yes, yes. And if you've been here a while, what do I now owe Caleb for that? $20, that's right. So we then had a wonderful time of paddleboarding, kayaking, and little Joshua, he's 6 years old, he's a little competitive, to say the least. And that's 40, yes, sorry. And Joshua did not catch a fish the first day and was pretty dejected, you know. The second day, he didn't catch a fish either. And the third day, we're just on the dock. We're not in the boat. We're just fishing off the dock. And I always teach the kids that as they cast their rod, they dip the rod into the water first to get a little more weight on the line, and then they cast it. I'm not an expert fisherman, so you probably just disagreed with my whole form or whatever. But I explained to them, dip the rod in the water behind you and then cast it, right? So you dip it in, cast it. And he hadn't caught a fish yet, and then all of a sudden, I hear like screaming from the dock, and I look down, and Joshua has reached back to cast the line. Okay, he's reached back. Some of you know what's going to happen. He reaches back to cast the line, and he catches a fish before he even threw it. So he went to throw it, and it was behind him. So he then caught the fish, and Caleb netted the fish. And so I thought that was a great brother moment. I was close by, but I was not there, and they brought it into the net themselves, and I just thought that was so cool. Then we also laughed about the fact that, can you imagine if Joshua, yeah, fishing is fun, see? Can you imagine if Joshua actually reached back and threw the fish with the line into the water? That would have been even better. But that's just one of our wonderful memories that we had on our little getaway, and it was our first annual Conti Boys Only trip. And it was a lot of fun. So anyway, that has nothing to do with my message other than just being a kind of Father's Day memory that we had this week. So as we journey from the upper room, we are looking at four goals as a church over the next few weeks. We are looking at unity, diversity, maturity, and hospitality. Last week, we looked at maintaining unity. What does it mean to be eager to maintain the unity in the church together? Because as we move forward together in the Spirit, we move together. We want to be unified. That was last week. This week, we're looking at the diversity of our Father and how he has uniquely shaped each one of us for his purpose. Next week, we'll look at maturity. What does it mean to grow up as the church, becoming mature? And then on July 2nd, Pastor Keaton is going to be preaching on hospitality. So we're looking forward to that. I wouldn't clap yet, but I'm just kidding. It's going to be amazing. It's a message for him that's really a life message as well. one that he lives out and carries. So I'm looking forward to that. And we also have our church barbecue on July 2nd as well. So come on out and you're welcome to join us for a free barbecue after. But this week, I want to look at diversity. Our main point this morning is that we are uniquely shaped by our Father. With distinct giftings, we serve, love, and worship in unity, but with diversity. That we are uniquely shaped by God for a specific purpose that God wants to use us. Yesterday, we had a birthday party for our 9-year-old daughter, and it was 9 9-year-old girls at our house. And thank God we have some outdoor space because it was the loudest, screechiest, squealingest party I have ever heard. But as I looked around this table at these 9 girls, what was amazing was there was about 7 different ethnicities at this table. And yet they all squeaked at the same volume. And I was upstairs, you know, I was reading over my notes and I could hear them downstairs and I could hear the squealing and the squeaking and the laughing and the joy. And I thought to myself, this is a perfect picture of my sermon tomorrow, is that we are all diverse, uniquely shaped by God. We speak different languages. We come from different countries. We have different cultural backgrounds, socioeconomic. Thank you, Elvis. Much love, brother. And yet, we come together in joy, in community, for God's purpose. And I thought to myself, these 9 squeaking 9-year-olds remind me of the diversity, yet the joy found in unity. Unity is not conformity. Unity is diversity embraced. Unity happens when we come together expressing the unique way that God has created us to be. We are divinely and diversely shaped for purpose. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says this. Isaiah is writing 700 years before Jesus is born. So this is about 2,700 years ago. Isaiah writes this. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. I love this picture because Isaiah is saying, God, you are my Father and God, you are the potter, the one who shapes me. And I think about this picture and I think as fathers, we shape our children. As fathers, we spend time shaping our children. And as children, we spend time being shaped. As fathers, we shape our children for the unique purposes that we believe them to be created for. And we spend time with our kids to shape them into the purpose that they have. At the same time, as children, we are being shaped for a purpose. And this picture of clay in the hands of a potter is like fathers. This Father's Day, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you that you are being shaped. You're being shaped for a purpose. There's one thing that clay must do. Clay can't shape itself. Clay can't mold itself. Clay can't form itself, right? But clay must do one thing. Clay's job is to remain soft. to remain moldable, to remain shapeable. If clay becomes hard, it becomes difficult to maneuver, difficult to work with. How does clay become hard? Clay becomes hard when it is disconnected from the potter. Clay begins to crumble when it dries out. When it's been out of the potter's hands for a while, clay can become hard and begin to crumble. And I thought that's a picture of fathering our children, actually. There's one thing that disconnection from our children will do, and that's that our children will become hard. But that's a picture for me as a child of God, that my disconnection from him, I can tend to get hard. Now there's good news, of course. The good news is that even though we become hard, even though we become distant from God, even though we want to shape ourselves at times, the moment we turn to the Father, we turn to the potter. And the moment we turn to the potter, he'll begin to mold us, soften us, shape us. God is always there to be our Father and to be the potter. Our greatest enemy to being shaped is a hardening of our heart. That's why Jeremiah says in Jeremiah that he says, give me a new heart. Replace this heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Replace this hard clay with soft clay, God. And for some of you, I felt the Lord saying, come into the Father's hands again. Let him shape you, soften you, mold you, because you are diversely called to a unique purpose. There is diversity in the way we serve. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 to 20. We'll also have it on the screen for you to read along. Paul says this. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Down in verse 27, we continue. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? How about you answer that? No. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul is basically saying this in the first part. He's saying you are all diverse in the way you are called to serve God. We are not all called to be the same thing. If we all came in this morning and said, we are all gonna lead worship this morning, that would not work, because we are not all called to be Pastor Keaton. Or if all of us came in this morning and said, we're all gonna preach a sermon this morning, we're all gonna preach a sermon, that would be really fun. But this morning, I am called to preach the sermon. Doesn't mean you can't. Doesn't mean some of you aren't gifted. There's so much potential in this room. There's 30 churches that could be planted from the people in this room. I guarantee it. God has called us each to play a part, each to play a unique and specific purpose within the church. Now, the first thing that sets in when we feel this, oh, I could maybe do something like that. I can serve in kids ministry, or I can serve in the tech department, or I can serve on the prayer team, or I can serve on the worship team. The first thing that the enemy wants to do is you either think you can't do it or you compare yourself. And Paul is saying in this passage, listen, if you're an ear, just be an ear. Don't compare yourself to the hand or the foot. If you're the nose, don't compare yourself to the mouth. There is the body of Christ is when each one of us, diversely, uniquely created, comes into the house of the Lord saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want to serve you for the kingdom. That's when the body functions. Because if my pinky finger wants to be my big toe, now I don't have a working pinky finger, right? Don't compare. And don't disqualify. We are all uniquely created with diversity to serve. The Father wants each one of you to know that you are a part of this community and you have a place to serve. As I was preparing this point, I felt the Lord show me this deep sadness. This deep sadness that some of you here today feel like you're not worthy. I'm not worthy of serving. I have nothing to bring. I'm not unique. And the Father who has uniquely shaped you as the potter, says, I have a unique purpose for you. I was just talking to some of the kids downstairs before church, and I was describing to them the difference between a teacup and a flower vase. And I really should have these today so that you could see them in my Italian hands rather than just my hands. But you have to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine in this hand I have a teacup. What is the purpose of a teacup? To drink tea. You guys are like so smart. Okay, second one, the flower vase. What is the purpose of the flower vase? Oh my gosh, this is too much. This is too much. You guys are so smart. So teacup holds tea, flower vase holds flowers. What happens if you put the flowers in the teacup? They fall out. What happens if you put tea in a flower vase? I know the kids are gonna try this. Right? It's awkward. What's the point? When the potter took the teacup and he or she shaped it, he or she had a purpose for it. This teacup is for drinking tea with your pinky finger up. And when the potter took the flower vase, right, you see where this is going, and he or she is uniquely shaping it, holding it, molding it, the Creator always has the end result in mind. We as well have been uniquely shaped by God for a purpose to serve, to be used by Him. Even if you don't fully believe in yourself, God believes in you. I remember a moment in prayer when, you know, younger in my ministry years, I was insecure. And I remember God showed me, Joel, I trust you more than you trust you. I trust you, Joel, more than you trust yourself. And the same goes for each and every one of you to serve. God has placed different parts in the body to be used for that purpose. There is diversity in the way we love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." I remember when I first read this list, and many times after, I would think, oh my goodness, this list is going to take me 10 lifetimes to be loving. Like, how can I be patient and kind and not envy and or boast and not be arrogant or rude and not insist on my own way and not be irritable or rude? Like, how could I do all of these things in my life to become loving? And as I was reading this passage, I felt the Lord show me, Joel, these can also be the diverse ways that people love. I've grown in patience from being a father of five and some gardening and ministry. You grow in patience. But I'm still irritable. I could still be rude. And I think I just wish I could do all of these things, but then God shows me someone else that is not irritable and not rude. And I can show them how to be patient with my love, and they can show me how to not be irritable with their love. And some can show how to be kind with their love, and some can show how to endure all things with their love. And some can show how to bear all things, hope all things. And others can show their love by rejoicing with the truth. And I began to see this passage as, yes, it's obviously a goal to become all of these things, to be loving in all of these ways. But what the Lord showed me is this is also the way that we love differently, diversely, uniquely. It reminded me of Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Have any of you read the book on the five love languages, or you've had your wife tell you about them? Anyone? Yeah. So the five love languages are this: words of affirmation. Some give or receive love through words of affirmation. Some through acts of service. Thirdly, some show love or receive love by quality time. Some show love or receive love by physical touch. And all the husbands say, the fifth love language, and that could be a hug, right? And just some people, just physical touch, it's a hug. And thank you for bearing with me this morning. The fifth one is gifts. To show love and to receive love. And what Gary Chapman says is that we receive love in one of these five ways, and we give love in one of these five ways. I was in the class Relationship 101, led by Juliet and Jessica, for a few weeks over the past month. And I remember in the class, and we were in the class, and someone in the class, actually Brad, you wanted to add a sixth one. And I really like this. I'm with you on this. So we created a sixth love language. Well, Brad created the sixth love language, but I agree with him. And I think we're going to get some amens on this one. The sixth love language is food. I'm telling you, somebody brings me a cannoli or box of Juju fruits, I'm up to eight boxes of Juju fruits. People have gone on trips and brought Gigi fruits. I love you. But there's something about food, right? That just, oh, it's amazing. But there's the other five as well. Sorry, I'm going to get off track here. And we give and we receive love this way. Sometimes what we tend to do, though, is we tend to give love the way that we receive love. But if the person who's receiving love from us does not receive love that way, they won't feel appreciated and loved. So what we do diversely is we learn about other people's love language. And we love them the way they desire to be loved. Now, in addition to this, is I felt the Lord say to me, is that he enjoys to be loved by us diversely as well. This is a huge shift in the way that we worship. We believe that at church, when you come in, that in conformity, we love God together in the same way. That is not how the Father receives our love. He receives our love diversely, uniquely. I'll give you an example. I've come to appreciate flowers a little bit more. And I appreciate irises around our little pond. I will look at an iris and the shape of it, and it is so beautiful. And when I look at this iris and the shape of it, and I look and I appreciate it, and I look to God and I look to the Creator and I say, wow, God. Like out of millions and millions of varieties of flowers, you took the time to uniquely create and shape this iris. And I love God through my appreciation for his creation. That might be different from you. You might love him on a walk in nature. You might love him as you're having dim sum with your friends and family. You might love him in the way that you serve the poor. And all of these things, you encounter God's love through them, and you love God through them. And each one of us loves God differently. And it's not conformity. Yes, we want to come into church and sing the same song together. But worship how you are created to worship. Some lift your hands, some kneel, some sing loud, some sing quiet. And the balance here is how do we stay unified but diversely loving God in the way we were created to love him? But that is true unity. True unity, again, is not in conformity. Up, down, do, 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 do. Like, that is robotic. The problem with conformity is it seeks to control. The beauty of diversity is it sets you free. We want to be free in unity. This brings us to our last point this morning, diversity in the way we worship. Jesus is sitting with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The woman that Jesus is sitting with is from Samaria. She's a Samaritan woman. Jesus is Jewish. Jesus should not even be talking to this Samaritan woman because Jews did not relate to Samaritans. They never spent time together. They were never together. But Jesus is sitting with the woman at the well, and she's questioning him on different things. And she says to him, people worship in different places. You Jews say that you have to worship here, and us Samaritans say we have to worship on this mountain. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter the location that you worship at. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what denomination you are a part of. Jesus is not drawing geographical lines that you must worship here or you must worship there. Jesus redefines worship this way. He says, God is spirit. It's not brick and mortar. He's not in a certain temple. He's not in a certain church. He's not in a certain location. He is spirit. And his worshipers, that's you and me, must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We looked at last week what it looks like to worship in spirit and in truth. We use the illustration of the kite. The kite will blow wherever the spirit will take it. Worship will blow wherever the spirit wants to take us, but we will be tethered to God's word and to Christ. Spirit and in truth. We're many different worshipers led by one spirit, making one sound. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, he describes prayer and singing worship this way. He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. We were created to worship with our understanding, with our minds, and we're created to worship in our spirit. We're created to diversely worship the Lord. He has created us this way, that we can understand with our minds the truth, but we can be moved in our spirit. Paul says, I want you to do both of these things, and I'm imploring you to do the same. I don't want you to just sing the words on the screen or just read the words that are up here. I want you to take them and digest them and press them into your inner being so that you pray with your spirit as well as your understanding. If we just recite the Our Father prayer over and over again without an inner being response to that, we lose the meaning of what it actually is, that he is our Father. Further down in chapter 14, Paul says this, what shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, that's a song, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Verse 40, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. I love this. I love this because verse 40 comes after Paul describes speaking in tongues, interpretation in tongues, prophecy, spiritual gifts, people coming into church with songs that they want to sing to the Lord, people coming into church with a word of knowledge, people coming into church with revelation, people coming into church with testimonies. The people of God were so on fire for God that they brought into the church things that they wanted to worship God with. And all of these diverse people were coming into the church and everyone had a song and everyone had a testimony and everybody had a word of knowledge. And at the end of that, Paul is like, wait a second, this is crazy. There's too much going on in your life. There's too much celebration going on in your life. You're being used by God powerfully and mightily. Can we just do this in an orderly way? And what happens in the church in North America is we focus on verse 40 and we go, everything must be done in a fitting and orderly way. Conform. What Paul is addressing in the verse was the fact that the people of God had so much going on in their life, you know, Monday to Saturday, that he was like, hold on a second, we gotta figure this out. When we realize that we were uniquely created, shaped by God, for a purpose in the church and outside the church, in the community. There will be so many testimonies of what God is doing in our lives that we'll have to bring order to that. But we will not just have order for the sake of order. Paul says the purpose of these gifts is that the church would be built up. Built up means strengthened. We don't want this church to be a weak church. We also don't want this church to have only one voice. We want our church to be mature, built up, strengthened. And you know when that happens? When all of us realize that we've been created, shaped, diversely called for a unique purpose. To be used by God, to be filled with His Spirit, to be poured out to the world. That people would experience your life and experience Christ. Paul saw the church as a puzzle. Unique pieces fitted together to create one picture. May we continue to find a profound unity in our diversity. I look around this church and I see so much diversity. So many different languages, so many different cultures, so many different expressions of worship, so many different traditions. And yet we come together. Isn't this so beautiful? Like, where else in the world do you see this? We come together and in one unified sound, we worship God. It's so beautiful. I want to pray for you as I invite the worship team to come up. And I simply, my prayer this morning is going to be for you that you would experience God's presence and purpose for you. Father, I thank you that you are also the potter. That, Father, you are the one that gathered us together, Lord. You put us individually in your hands. You shape us into who you have uniquely called us to be, God. And each of us are different. Each of us experience you differently. Each of us serve differently, love differently. Each of us worship differently. Each of us pray differently, sing differently, read your Bible differently. And I pray even now, Lord, that we would pause and that you would begin to speak to your children about the areas that you are shaping within them, Lord, that you have uniquely called them to. I pray even now, Lord, that you would begin to repair. I even see some people here that at some point in your life, the uniqueness of who you were created to be was buried. I see people where someone has said something to you that you can't do that. I even see someone who was told, you'll never make any money doing that. You have to do this. And when you heard that, you buried that beautiful, unique creativity deep within yourself to do this other thing. Because that's what you were told you had to do. But you know that the passion that God has put in you and the creativity that God has put in you is still there and it burns. And I pray that you'd be blessed in that other thing that He has created you to do and created you to be. And so, Father, we come to you as our Father, as the potter who uniquely shapes us for a purpose. And as we respond in worship, Lord, I ask you to speak as only you know how to speak. To each individual child in this room, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.